Now, there's been a 417% increase in the level of phishing, vishing and smishing frauds that people have had to deal with over the last 4 or 5 years since 2019. It's 417%. That's just one of the areas of rise. Investment fraud, account takeover fraud, accommodation fraud, card not present fraud, all increasing by multiples of percentages. Romance fraud up 83% and shopping online auction fraud up by 68%. So every type of fraud in terms of internet, in terms of text messages, is going up year on year. And the reason why it is because it's becoming successful and it's catching an awful lot of people. One of the most common types of fraud of this kind in the country is the e-flow scam. These are text messages and emails that ask you as a customer to click a link to pay an outstanding toll fee, but it is a scam. The website links in these messages are not genuine. They're an attempt to collect personal card and online banking details for you. Well, to find out more about this and experience of it, I spoke to Mary Fitzgibbon, who herself was subject to an e-flow scam and stopped just in the nick of time. Have a listen to her story in relation to how she almost got caught.
Hello, Jerry. Yes, it was sort of the beginning of April. We were actually driving to Dublin and we were seeing whether we take the M50. And then I saw this text come in about eFlow. And you know the way, if you don't pay it straight away, you're going to be caught the next day. And I didn't know with internet access, because we were, you know, going further away, whether I could do that. So I started to fill in the details. I first asked my husband, I said, and he goes, well, maybe you should. And then I didn't finish it, but I did probably give sufficient detail. And then the next week, I got a phone call. It was a no-caller ID, and it purported to be from my bank. And I said, but how do I know you're from my bank? And they said, oh, because I won't ask for any personal details. And I remember having this conversation with my bank before as well, saying to them, and then I thought, okay, so they said, oh, you went on to a phishing scam, and what prompted you to go on this? And I said, oh, well, we were thinking of taking the M50. And they said, oh, we need to send you out a new card. So I thought, okay, fair enough, we'll send out a new card. And then they were asking me to check my text for a code. And I said, well, I don't really, I'm not sure about that. And then, in the meantime, anyway, I did get onto my own bank, and I think after about two more calls from the same person, I got onto my own bank, and I said, I better do something about this. And I cancelled the cards. And then what was interesting was, a few days later, I got another call from the same person, and they said, could I transfer money into my credit card account?
Okay, so just 1 second, Mary. So you were getting calls from this person based on the original thing you had started to fill out, and before you realised that this could be a scam, and you didn't do any more. Then you were getting phone calls from this person. What were they telling you in the original call? Were they saying that, hi, we're your bank, we want you to check this information? Or
yes.
And you were saying, hold on a second now, how do I know you're my bank? And they were saying, well, we won't ask you for any personal information. And then you decided then to contact your own bank. And what did the bank say to you when you said, look, I'm getting calls from this person, is it from you? Did they say, no, that's not from us?
I think yes, that they said that it well, actually, no, I wasn't suspicious even at this stage. I just thought it was my own bank still. I did still think that person was my own bank. And they said, oh, they'd send out a card. And then I just said, look, I'll ring my own PTSB, because I, whatever about the credit card, I said, well, what about my own normal card that I use?
Mm.
So they said, oh, we're better off to change everything. And I said, fine. And then you see this person then kept purporting to say, oh, yes, we will send out the card in a few days. We just need a few more details.
Right, so they're trying to keep you feeding information into them by saying,
yeah, like,
we'll
it's
send
like
out.
It's working in tandem. So you think that you're that they're in the background following up on some call that you've made to your bank.
Yes. Okay.
And yeah. So then I then what was interesting is I got a call then, and I got a call to say to put money into the account.
And this was after you'd cancelled your cards with your bank properly.
But I had put a stop on all the cards then.
Yes.
And then they were sending codes. I think it's like Apple Pay, which I hadn't been using very much.
Sure.
And then I said, and then I was beginning to get a bit suspicious because, and luckily for me, I suppose, fortunately, it was a case of I had very little money in my account because I had been away and we had spent a bit. And then, so the next thing was they asked me to put in a substantial amount of money into my account. And I said, no, I couldn't do that, you know. Payday is a long way off. I said, no. And then I said, okay, I'm going to ring my own bank and say, has anyone tried to use these cards? And they said there was an attempt on the card, two attempts, one for 2,500 and one for 1,200. And this had happened up the country in a place like Argus. And they gave me the exact time. So then I got on to the fraud department in my bank, and now it takes a long time to get through to them sometimes, so you're kind of a bit frustrated. And but I thought, well, surely they can follow up on this, but they said because money then didn't come out of my account, they don't take it any further. So I thought, well,
that doesn't make any sense. I mean, there's an attempted crime here. If there had been money, you'd be out of pocket.
I would, yeah. And then they said no, unless the crime has been committed. And I said, but sure, it would be very easy for the guards to go into this establishment, see on closed circuit TV who the individual was. Staff would probably remember them. And then that's what I did do. And so they have CCTV on this.
So you went to the guards yourself, Mary?
Yeah, I made a phone call. Yeah, I made a phone call to several counties away.
Sure.
And, you know, the one thing you are concerned about is how much information I put into that scam.
Yes.
And they know a lot. It's very easy to locate people today.
Yeah,
So then I said, and the guard was very nice. They went, and they went to the store, and they got the details, and then they are investigating it, and, you know, they're assuring me that they'll
follow up.
Follow up on this.
What they were trying to do with your information, with a skimmed card, shall we call it that, they were trying to make a purchase in a store, an Argos store up the country.
Yes.
So that's how they were going to take the money, through something that they bought, which they would obviously sell on or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's kind of frightening. It all happened so quickly, isn't it?
Well, the
and
thing
the phone
was,
calls are so convincing.
Yeah, and they said to put in the code, you know, they kept saying, did you get a code? And I'm thinking, how am I able to get a code, a text message from my bank? And I'm thinking to myself, why is this coming through on the actual legitimate texting from my bank?
Yeah.
And then I was talking to a few more people, colleagues, and said, oh, yeah, I saw that scam too. I actually started putting in my details and then I stopped. And then I got the same text message again last week. And you're caught off guard, or in my case, I suppose what prompted me initially was I was near the M50, and whereas if you think, you know, I might have thought more about it, but you can't be too careful. You can't be too careful. And then it was very, very plausible. The questions, the manner, the same person. Then I asked them for their name, and you are confused.
Yeah, yeah. How persuasive was it? Was it somebody with an Irish accent or a foreign accent? Was it a man or a woman on the phone?
It had a Dublin accent.
Really?
And then I asked them the name, and then I asked their surname, and then I did notice a drop in tone, and then. Seemingly, if I had keyed in this code to authorize an Apple Pay or something, the money would have come out. But luckily, there wasn't money in the account.
Yeah, that was the thing.
Yeah, And I know, like, there are people saying that they've been scammed with Revolut, and I suppose we're in the digital currency age, and it's rife, this kind of activity.
Yeah.
And then if you, what they do say as well, at least with a credit card, with
there's
the bank,
protection there. If the money is gone, you'll be reimbursed. Yeah, yeah, that's the important point. Yeah.
What I would say to people is probably better not to answer anything. And then if people really want to follow up with you, that they will get in contact with you. But at the same time, it was interesting, the psychology of the questions were like, you know, what prompted you to use that site? Why would you have? So they're gleaning information as to how to improve these.
Yeah, they're using you as an example of how to get better for the next scam down the road and the next call down the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it all came from an eFlow notice, or a notice purporting to be from eFlow. Yeah, making you think that you're under pressure, you have to pay back this debt or you pay back this penalty, and that's what gets you anxious, gets you putting information before you know what you're
doing.
It
would kind of, you know, update your details.
Yes.
Otherwise, your account will close.
And, you know. Yeah. And that's how they get you in. Okay, well, look, Mary, thanks for telling us the story, and thankfully you're not out of pocket to any amount of money, and for following up on it, and thanks for giving us the warning.
That's no problem, and I just hope that maybe other people will, you know, they may ring in with other experiences and
sure.
help people to be vigilant.